Just a little more time is all we're asking for. Just a little more time could open closing doors. Just a little uncertainty can bring it down. Nobody wants to show you how. So if your love comes on your own, you can never surrender. And if your life won't lead you home, you can never surrender. And when the night is cold and dark.
Good evening and welcome to the 65th podcast of the Never Give Up Show. I am Bailey Smith, your host. Our phone number to call in is 516-531-9643, 516-531-9643. We are live at this moment on blogtalkradio.com/friendstalk, and you can click on the Never Give Up Show and you can hear us. We do love to have callers, so I hope you call in, join what I expect to be another incredible show. Just so you know, I have a child in the hospital. I did go and see him in between my craziness today. I'm not such a bad mom. He's doing okay. So whoever saw any of the posts out there, I am doing the show because it's an important show to do tonight, but I did my mom duties earlier. Tonight's guests are Patsy Grant and Lynn Morgan. I have to say Patsy and I have been fellow advocates and following each other on social media for years. I don't know if we had much interaction before, well, at least messaging each other, but I'm so glad she reached out to me. And if anybody ever wants to do a show, wants to share a story, please feel free to reach out to me. You can go to thenevergiveupshow.com. That is my website where all my shows are under podcasts, but you can also email me there. So we have Patsy and Lynn Morgan. They are both protective moms who have been through the corrupted system of family court, CPS, and domestic violence. They will share their stories tonight. And by the way, I have not heard them yet. These moms have been working with others on the empirical studies, which proves that when mothers report abuse or even allege abuse, the courts commonly take their children and place them with their abusers. And I had posted the links to different studies. One was DV Leap, and one was from George W. University from Joan Meyer. And both of them I know very much about. And one of the big things that they are going to talk about tonight is the rally that they are planning to have next week. They will talk about it in Ohio. And I hope that they will eventually give us all the information we need to start doing these kind of rallies throughout the United States. Again, our phone number to call in is 516-531-9643. I do see we have some callers, but I'm going to bring on our guests and let them start, and then I will come and find out who has called in. So without further ado, I'm bringing on Patsy and Lynn.
Hello.
Welcome.
Good evening.
Hi.
Good
how
evening.
Are you? Patsy, do you want to go first, or you want me to go first?
You start out, and
then we'll bounce off each other, I guess.
My name is Carol Lynn Morgan, but I'm known by everyone on social media as Lynn Morgan. That's LynnMorgan. And thank you very much for having us on the show this evening. We are here to speak about an absolute poison and a danger to all parents, especially mothers at this time. We are the planned plague for the moment for these people sitting in judicial seats and for the lawyers and attorneys that see we are just a money maker for them. So the judicial judges, the system is geared to take children from good mothers and place them with fathers, and they are acting as pirates and kidnappers, and they're holding our children away from us until we pay the ransom to get them back. So how they do that is when a mother goes to the court or to counselors or to the police and tries to get help by a protection order, a lot of the judges then turn around and say, well, you're just trying to alienate the father. We're not going to give you the protection order, and we're going to go ahead and start custody proceedings to take your children and give them with the father. Sometimes these are done without even a hearing. There's no due process. The right of due process, the most fundamental part of due process, is the right to be heard. Mothers are not being heard in these administrative buildings which call themselves courts of record. A lot of times there are no recordations coming from these courts. And that doesn't allow a mother even to appeal. However, every mother needs to know that where there is fraud perpetrated in these court orders, they are void. The orders are void and they are non-appealable. You can't appeal a nothingness. When an order is procured by fraud, it is a void. There's no need to appeal. But they keep mothers in the system, circulating them from the family, they chop your head off. They just take everything from you, give you nothing. So I will explain a little bit about my story and what happened to me. After a very long marriage and suffering domestic abuse and violent outbursts.
Your phone is a little bit scraggly.
Yeah, something's really going on.
Okay, yeah, that happens sometimes when I try to tell the story. I'm going to go back in, okay, and we'll see if that's better. Is that all right?
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
Lynn, Patsy, do you want to pick up?
Sure. She was talking about how you can lose your kids by reporting simply that your children were being abused because they're placed with the abuser. Is she coming back in?
Yeah, okay. Hold on. Hi, welcome
Hello?
Back. Yes.
Yes, hi. Is this better?
Yes.
Much better.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. It happened to me a couple of times when I was telling the story because it involves federal courts and state Supreme Courts. Sometimes people don't like what I have to say, and that's just too bad. We're going to get it out there anyway, folks. So I will continue. Long-term marriage, full of domestic violence. My oldest daughter was going to the university, and she had taken health classes, and she recognized that what I was going through was actual domestic violence. And she told me, Mama, if I don't get you out of here today, he's going to end up killing you. On my birthday, August 30th, I went down, and this was several years ago, I went down to Trumbull County, Ohio, to pick up their divorce packet. But they talked me into filing a dissolution at the court. The clerks and the assignment lady said, file for a dissolution instead. It's over with quickly, it's fully agreed upon, and it can never be relitigated. They can't take it away once it's done. So I said, okay, we'll go ahead and do the dissolution then. We sat with the mediator of the court who divided the assets. You get this, you get that, he gets that, you get that. We agreed and signed upon the contract. He did not want to have the children with him because he didn't want to pay for child care. He worked an hour away from home, and he said, leave the children with their mother, because even if he had 50-50 custody, he would still have to pay quite a bit for five children in child care. So he did not want to go through that expense. He said, just leave them with the mom. So I took my children, of course. I want them. He didn't want them. And they were with me in my care and custody. He would pick them up for visitation and then drop them off. 2 weeks after the dissolution was granted, and you can look up the police reports, and there is a warning in my police reports that they had a standoff with Lebby Salcia where he was armed with a machete. He showed up at my daughter's work when I went to pick her up, the oldest daughter, and he was sitting in the car with a machete between his legs to run up on me and chop off my head. So people helped me to get in the restaurant. We locked the doors, and the police came and they arrested him. What happens then is they allow this violent offender to bond out. They post bond. His bond was $65,000. He paid 10%, the $6,500, and he was back out on the streets. And he was here at my home. And he was threatening me that if I didn't allow the charges to be pled down or dismissed, on the next visitation, he was going to kill my children. And he made that very clear. So out of fear, I kept my mouth shut. I asked the court that they allow the charges to be pled down, because it, when you have a first offense of a big felony like that, it's usually pled down anyway. And then these abusers get the children and they kill them. And that is a fact, okay? There are many, many mothers that are going to bed tonight without their sons and daughters because they've been killed by a violent ex-spouse. So I was basically new to all of this, and I did get a protection order out of Mahoning County where I live, a 5-year protection order. The ex-spouse kept violating it and sitting at the school across the street from my house and watching me through binoculars. He repeatedly abused the children, punished me when I see them hurting and come home with bruises and scars and bloody wounds. That was a punishment to me, but the children were suffering it physically. So by law, if I don't report those incidents of abuse, I am to be found equally responsible. But then when you do report it, these lawyers that are out there now are flipping the script on good mothers and saying, oh, baloney, she just wants to keep the dad away from the kids, which is not true. If he was good with them and taking them for a pizza and enjoying time with them, I'm all for it. I need the extra break anyway to clean the house and do the laundry. But that wasn't the case in my situation. And I suffered. My children and I suffered. It came about that I was picking the children up from a week-long visit that he had with them. And by the way, it is in the transcripts where the children admitted that because he worked an hour away, he would lock them in the basement by pulling the door over and taking it off the track and putting chairs up against it. There's no bathroom in the basement, so they would have to urinate in cups and dump it in the sink and then drink from those same cups the whole day. So I explained that to Children's Services. That's not a healthy environment for the children. Children's Services asked me to petition the court to remove his visitation or have it suspended for the abuse. And right as I was about to file that, he returned them Sunday evening And he punched my little boy in the face twice, 9-year-old son, in the face twice, knocking him backwards into the display. People that saw that, they called the police, and they did come to court and testify. So these aren't things that Lynn just made up. There's actual testimony from people that came to court and said they were in Sam's Club and they witnessed this. When you hire lawyers that know other lawyers and they're well-connected, and by the way, my ex-spouse works for First Energy. First Energy right now is being investigated for scams and bribery, and a lot of scandals going on with First Energy. And they are the major contributors to the Ohio Supreme Court justices. So somebody's doing favors for him, and he's paying these people bribery money to get away with all this. No normal man would be able to get away with this and not be held accountable. So he knew that, and he didn't care about the punch in the face to my son, punched him twice. It's in the newspaper. It was in the news. I was told, and his arrest bond says, to stay away from the child and the child's immediate family. He admitted that in court. He said, I was told to stay away from them, and I did. Then his county, Trumbull County, suspended father's visitation on September 13, and I brought that to the court's attention. What had happened when I went to get the second protection order out of Mahoning County, they dragged me into his county 2 weeks later. And this is, by the way, signed by two judges, my protection order. So they dragged me into his county, and off the record, I started recording on my phone because the recording box was not moving. And they told me that I had to dismiss my protection order or lose custody of my children, that I had custody of them for over 6 years. And I told them I cannot do that. I can't just dismiss the protection order. He'll come to my house and kill me. If anybody wants a copy of it, it's 2016-DV-0689 in Mahoning County. So in there, it also shows that he broke into my home while I was in the shower. He must have been watching from the school across the street. He broke into my home while I was in the shower and attacked me and was in the process of raping me while my own children were pulling him off of me. It was a very horrible sight. He finished in his pants and called me foul, vulgar names and walked out of the house. So I had to get another door handle for the front door and have somebody come and put that on, and the children were afraid. That is also listed in the protection order. This is not something Lynn is making up to keep a good dad away from his kids. Charged by his county with 3 counts of contempt, they said I tried to parental alienate this man. I have a protection order that proves otherwise and police reports that prove otherwise. The court's own court order took his visits, not me. And when I proved that, they fully dismissed all 3 contempt motions. In fact, Lebby Salcia withdrew voluntarily those 3 contempt motions, and then the court dismissed it. And then they threatened me under duress and coercion to dismiss my protection order. And when I said no, they called up a sheriff officer to pull me and drag me down the stairs and literally slap punch me through the front doors. And I said, okay, all right, whatever. And they told me not to come back, and they held a full-day custody trial in my absence. They called up people, hurry up, come to court, hurry up. There is a woman who had nothing to do with any of this. And by the way, the father is a substantiated abuser in my county, in Mahoning County. A worker for CSB, never talked to her, don't even know her. She went in and tampered with the records and removed his name as the abuser. I have both documents, the original from the director, Randall Muth handed it to me in my hand. He said, this is the real one. This has his name on it. That one has been tampered with. So I provided them to the proper authorities. These abusers like to keep you in court, to keep you broke, and to keep you suffering. So now the father has custody of the children. A couple weeks after he had them with him, he left horrible human bite marks on my children, and he was abusing them and keeping them from calling me or contacting me. So we had to file a motion to show cause, my attorney and I, and the police, when they took the photos of the human bite marks on the children, I was ordered to take my children to the hospital to have those human bite wounds tended to and get tetanus shots if they needed them, and then find a safe place to go until they arrested Sasha and put him in jail, then we could come home. Well, I went to the police for help. They told me what to do. They instructed me. By law, that's what I have to do. I was then arrested for following police orders. I'm thankful that the officers came to court, three different courts, to defend me, and all of those charges were dropped. Judge Adler, Jeffrey Adler out of Girard, Ohio, said, there isn't a jury in the world that is going to convict this mother. Look at these bite marks. Why is this man not in jail? He's not in jail because he has an attorney that's married to the head judge of the family court. And I will say, 10 months after I got the dissolution, David E. Boker forged my attorney's signature on an official court document, a journal entry. He forged my attorney's signature to vacate my rights without me knowing or my attorney knowing. We weren't there. And it forced me married back to my abuser again. On September 13, I'm granted the dissolution. 2 weeks later, Sasha is arrested for the machete incident where he tried to behead me. Then 10 months later, they're trying to make me married to this same man again, but I had already gotten remarried for my safety. Sasha came after me twice more with knives, and I was in fear for my life, so I married my daughter's boss at her work so that I would have a job, some safety, and someone looking out for me. Now I had two husbands at the same time. I'm the only woman in America to be married to two men at the same time and have to go through two divorces. Sasha tried to kill the second husband, and he actually just packed up his stuff and ran away to New Jersey and divorced me by phone. So now I'm back to square one. I'm in the home with the children at that point, and I had no protection. And Sasha kept taking me through the court system, And Trumbull County was allowing and promoting and telling him, go ahead, keep abusing, because the more you do, we get these Fathers' Rights Initiative funds. It's federal funding that when there's a father who claims, oh, he's not getting visits, then he runs to the Fathers' Rights Initiative people, and they jump right on it because they get millions and millions of dollars for these kind of cases. So here, my case was fully adjudicated, fully done and over with. They drew first blood when they did the forgery and made me marry back to him again and had me in that system. They created that. It was done and over. It's final. You can't unring the bell. But what they did then is make me go through the appellate court process back and forth and back and forth. And then when the appellate court knew people were involved in such a conspiracy to deprive me of my rights, and they worked in a concerted action, the appellate court then started to change their tune. So I have the oral arguments, what they said to me, that my case is bias, a pure piece of bias. And the other judge, because there's three judges on the panel, he said, how bizarre is this case? But then they just rule, they just affirm what the lower court says. And it's all based on fraud, false allegations, and deception. None of those court documents after the felony forgery are valid. They are all a Fourth Amendment fruit of the poisonous tree. They're all vined and tied to that fraud, and it's a fraud upon the court. Fraud upon the court has no statute of limitations, and it can be taken in front of any court at any time. If you look up the case of Long versus Shorebank, United States Supreme Court said that these are not final orders. Whenever there is fraud and deception, you can take it in front of any court at any time. So that's what I've been doing for 11 years, trying to get a remedy, which the Ohio Constitution, Article 1, Section 16, states all courts are open to the people, and for every injury done unto them and their lands, good, and reputation, you have a right by due process to a redress and remedy without denial and without delay. So I send all of my documents, two stacks, 2 inches thick, on the advice of the appellate court. It's right here. It says, Ms. Morgan has never taken her case yet to the Supreme Court. Well, so now I did. On June 2, 2022, I handed it to them by hand, and Patsy drove with me. I gave it to the clerk of courts, and the case number that they gave me is 2022-0666. That's my case number with the Ohio Supreme Court, 2022-0666. Now, they see all the proof in front of them of the criminal action and the criminal behavior from these defendants who worked in their concerted action. When one left the concerted action, another would come in, and that's their playbook. They use the magistrates in their little phony costume, their black robes, to make awful opinions and rulings and orders against good mothers. Then the mothers have to object to the judge. The judge is like, oh, crap, we can't let this get out there. We can't let them know there's a felony forgery and everything. We're just going to overrule her objections. Then that forces you to pay $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 for transcripts to send it to the appellate court, because the appellate court won't see your case without transcripts. Well, what do you do when Lynn goes to the appellate court and says, hey, I spoke of the felony forgery on the stand, and they destroyed my transcript. They gave me a handwritten letter that says, we are sorry. At that time, the recording box had malfunctioned at an earlier time in the year. So in the November when we had the hearing, they're trying to tell me that the recording box had malfunctioned in February. So there were no transcripts to my case.
And there was no court reporter?
No, it's all done by a recording box. So they get on a computer and click a button, and then the box is moving. And I saw
that's
the
Supreme
box
court.
Was moving.
That was in Supreme Court.
No, that's the family court.
Really? Because we're trying to get that done down here in Florida. They refuse to do it, recording, like audio recording or video recording.
Yes, because then you have an... when there's
proof.
A court reporter, yeah, she can fudge those records. If the judge says something that they just put inaudible.
Right. It's all corrupt.
Absolutely. Yeah,
I'm gonna
when they have a recording box...
I'm going to bring on one of my fellow court watchers, actually one of the founders from Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys have court watchers in Ohio?
Only if people volunteer to show up.
Yeah.
Is there Zoom still?
No.
No more Zoom?
No. No, most times you go in with an attorney into the building. He tells you to sit in the lobby while he goes in and talks to the other attorney and the judge. They come out and the deal is already done. You're just walking into court nervous, and the court actors already have it worked out.
But the court is supposed to be opened. It's supposed to be an open courtroom, and whomever wants to be in there is allowed in there.
Mm-hmm. They don't allow people in there. I've gone and brought like 12 people with me, and they don't want them in there. Nope, sorry, you got to sit outside.
It's a violation of rights, and it's constitutional rights. But I guess if they're already violating all your rights in every way, from Supreme Court, appellate court, like all courts, all the way down, they'll do what they want anyways. I'm going to bring Sheila on, see if she has anything to say. Hi, Sheila.
Hi.
Hi.
Boy, this sounds like a nightmare. I have never heard anything like this.
Well, no?
This is in Ohio.
Her story sounds so similar to so many different cases that I'm watching or that I've seen or even stuff that I've been through myself. We see crazy stuff.
Yeah, they do it to all mothers. So we all have the same story with a little bit of variant. It's a playbook that they go by. They all do the same thing.
Yeah. Sheila's a court watcher over 20 years, so she's seen it all. What did you just say, Sheila?
I haven't seen anything like this. So, oh, my God, this is horrible. And how are your children?
She's not even done.
Yeah,
I know.
That's the sad part. She's not even done.
I had become a visitor with my children instead of full-time custodian, and he was abusing the children, and when I reported it, the entire court in Trumbull County recused themselves. They jumped ship. They sent up an 88-year-old retired visiting judge, Joseph Gelito. Joseph Gelito was paid handsomely to come in on this case. He has no oath of office because he has no office. He's retired. And they can only stay on a case for 3 months. However, he's been on my case for over 4 years to repeatedly keep me from my children. Now the father has, there's a standing court order that the father cannot remove the children from this country and take them anywhere outside of the continental United States. So now Joseph Gelito tried a couple weeks ago to vacate another judge's order, and I told him you cannot do that. That you have to respect the law of the case. You can't disturb it and try to vacate it. You'd have to bring a new action. So he was telling the other judge, which is illegal, by the way. You can't tell another attorney what to do. But he's told Elise Berkey to go ahead and then file for another hearing to request him removing my children. It's the same thing, man. When you have already two judges that said you cannot do this, Mr. Sasia, you can't have an 88-year-old retired visiting judge override somebody else's order and disturb the law of the case and now say, oh, yeah, Mr. Sasia, go ahead and take the children to Lebanon, which is a level 4, do not go. He's trying to take them over there.
Isn't he a felon?
And never bring them back.
Isn't he a felon?
Yes, he is. Absolutely, he is.
How did he leave the country?
He didn't leave the country with the children. He's gone back home several times. And oh, my God, the whole time we were married, he was shipping all of his money over there and putting it in the Banque du Liban. So what happened is all the banks went bust. Everything he put over there is gone. It's not recoverable. So he gets upset, and he takes over some more money because he has his homes and cars and such over there and wants to live the fabulous rich life. If you have $25,000, you can build a palace in Lebanon, okay? So he thinks he's just going to take my kids over there where there's no electricity, no running water. People are fighting for scraps of bread and garbage bin food, and he wants to take my children there while there's bombs going back and forth from Beirut to Israel and from Syria into Beirut.
But how is he allowed to leave the country as a felon?
Didn't he
take his passport?
No. Even when he didn't pay child support, they did stop him in the airport because he was found in contempt for not paying the agreed upon, and that's in a contract. That contract cannot be disturbed either. The laws of contract are protected by the U.S. Constitution and the Constitution of Ohio. So they did stop him in the airport. He got roughed up there and for the domestic violence. They finally allowed him to come back into America to face the courts, which he never did because he pays the lawyers. If you walk into a lawyer's office and plunk down $25,000 on their desk, they'll lap it up and they'll do whatever you want them to do. Because there's some good attorneys out there, but they're like prostitutes. You pay them money, they will do anything, for, yes. That's what it is.
The attorneys, the gals, the judges, they're prostitutes.
Absolutely. And pirates.
There's too many of them, yeah. There's too many lawyers.
Yeah, they're kidnappers and pirates. They take your children, they hold them away from you, and watch you writhe in pain and suffering. And then they make you pay to see your own kids.
Is he out of the country now?
No, he is trying to get this 88-year-old retired visiting judge to make an order. So October 18, the kids are to be to do a in-camera interview, including my 23-year-old son. In-camera interviews are for kids like that are 3 or 4, you know,
right.
And the court wants to talk to them. Not for teenagers and a 23-year-old, okay? He's trying to get on the camera that the kids, we want to go to Lebanon. But they will say anything so they don't get beat by their father, of course. And number two, the children they're not old enough to make a decision that they're going to go and get blown up or taken as a, you know, kidnapped for real or stabbed to death. They don't have that decision yet. If they're 18 years old, you want to go to Lebanon, you're free to go, honey. Go on. Don't call me when you're in the middle of somebody bombing, because even right now, the State Department, and I'll say this, the State Department has stopped the production of the passports. They didn't even make them. The State Department called me and said, ma'am, Ms. Morgan, he's trying to take your children out of the country and he tried to get passports. I said, no, we have a court order, he can't do that. And he's like, rush it to me, just go in any way you can, fax it to me. And I did, and the State Department told me we have stopped the production, the passports won't even be made, and we've closed this case. He would have to file another application. They are very, very helpful at the State Department. But with Jalito doing the in-camera on October 18, then he'll set a hearing.
Your older kids that are above age, they don't have to live with him.
No, they don't. You're absolutely right. And this is something very important that you just said. My son, Hannah, the oldest one, was appointed by the court as supervisor over his father's supervised visitation. The court told him, you're going to stay. Yes, I have it in the transcript. Raymond DeLost appointed my son as supervisor over his father's supervised visitation. Now, this is a boy who I have police reports when he was 18 months old, was thrown across the room, hitting his little body into a chair, and he just laid there. I didn't know if he had internal injuries or whatever, and I hurried up and run across the floor, got down on my hands and knees to see if he was breathing, and I got kicked in the face. It's really hard to see when you've got blood welling up in your eyes, and I was trying to make sure he was okay. Now, ladies, this is very, very important. Hannah was a longtime abused child of his father shortly before his death. At 26 years old, my son turned 26 September 8th of 2021. His father punched him in the chest in the basement, knocking him into the cabinets, and was choking and strangulating my other son who came down to help, the 23-year-old. Well, he's now 23. My
so
son
he killed one of your children?
Hold on. So after being knocked into the cabinets and he was able to get up and get to help and to a phone, he called me and he said, Mom, I think that Dad burst my heart valves or something. I have pain. I told him, I will pick you up. He said, no, because Dad will kill me and you too. I have two statements from and affidavits from social workers that this is absolutely the father was going to kill them. The younger children were pulling the father off of the two boys. The father took Yusuf by his throat, threw him over the sofa, straddled him, and was choking him so hard that the sofa broke. The guardian ad litem admitted it in the court. Short time later, father comes home with COVID. Didn't even care about masking or being careful. My son caught the SARS-2 virus from his father. His father dropped him off at the front doors of the hospital and drove away. My son called for me. I was in the hospital with him every day. They had to put him up on the 8th floor in the locked wing, so I could call him and message with him, but his breathing wasn't good. I came home to get a shower and some food. The doctor said, Mom, go clean up and come back, and I did. In the meantime, my son had asked for me. Where's Mom? Where's Mom? I took a shower, and he got nervous. And the doctor held up a sign and said, your mom is here for you. She's in the waiting room. Don't worry. She loves you. So when he walked out of the room, the doctor left the railing down from doing his blood work and checking his blood pressure. Hannah, thinking Mom is here, she's in the waiting room, and with no oxygen, gets up and tries to walk in the hospital to get to Mom. And he literally face planted into the floor, had a massive stroke, and went into cardiac arrest. I was with my son all through. He went through brain surgery. They removed part of his skull. And they told me, Mom, you need to sit down and rest a little bit. And then they came and got me and told me, be strong, Mom, and do what you got to do. They all walked me to the end of the hallway, suited me up, and I went into my son, put my hand so deeply into his, holding it tight so he could feel me. I was rubbing his face. I put my head on his chest to hear his heartbeat. And it wasn't about crying and sobbing at this point. It was about praising him and telling him how wonderful he is and how beautiful of a boy he is, and it's time to go home, baby. And Mama's going to walk you home the whole way. Don't be afraid. So as I'm helping my son leave this world, I, out of an act of mercy, asked the doctors to send a police escort to go find the father wherever he could be found. They did find him right when my son's oxygen was at 23, and he walks in the hospital room, 6'4", like he is Ego. He takes his knuckle of his right hand and touches Hannah's left hand on the top and rubs it and says, look at you, Bubba. Look what you did to yourself. Immediately upon Hannah hearing his father's words, went into cardiac arrest, and they took the father out of the room, and they said, Mama, you stay, and finish what you need to do, Mom. My son died in my hands on October 20 at 6:37 a.m. The doctor came in and handed me a little vial, like when they take blood, the little tube, and inside was my son's last heartbeat.
My God.
So that is the story of a child that is a longtime victim of domestic violence, had to be stuck in that house because he had to be the supervisor over Dad's visits so Dad wouldn't kill or hurt the younger ones. That's the only reason why Hannah and Yusuf stayed. And they both admitted that. Hannah came here. My son came here and was like, Mom, I want to find a house near of yours. I have a good job. I want to live next to you. I don't want to be the supervisor over the visits. What can I do? The court forced him to stay in that home with his father because they knew Hannah was 6 foot three, 6 foot four, and could try to help him not kill the other ones. But he took a punch to the chest that knocked him into the cabinets, and then he couldn't fight the virus when he got it. So the courts have no idea what they're doing. None.
They killed your child. Now, you said you had a 26-year-old?
That's Hannah. He's the one who passed away.
And then there's another one. Or there's no...
Then he's 23 now, yes. And then there's Sadie, she's 17. And then there's Thaddeus, the one that was punched in the face. He's now 15. And there's Soraya, she just turned 13. So the younger ones are still stuck at home. After Hannah passed away, the father told me the only way, and he put his finger in my face in front of the doctors. He said, the only way I'm going to allow you to help me bury Hannah, you have to go dismiss that protection order. Because I can't be around you with a protection order. Go get rid of it.
Well,
the morning
he was
my
right
son
there.
Died. Yes.
Right.
Yes. The morning my son died, my other son was taking me over to the court at 11:30 a.m., me begging the magistrate, please cancel this protection order. I have to bury my son. They said that can never be a condition. Who does he think he is? And then he and his attorney told the magistrate when we had the hearing sometime later over this protection order, my attorney asked his attorney on the video in front of the judge in Mahoning County. He said, could we talk about some visitation for mom? His attorney, Elise Berkey, said, sure, absolutely. We were planning on that anyway. An hour later, my attorney, Paul Kelly, said, okay, let's get busy on this. Elise Berkey then sends him a message. The father has no intention of letting her see the children.
And they didn't file charges on him for murder?
There is
murder?
A police report. Yeah, there's a police report. Absolutely. And it went through Trumbull County. Trumbull County does nothing at all. If this happened in Mahoning County, he would have been in prison by now. But Trumbull County has taken too much money on my case. And it's fixed. It's a rigged case. They got state and federal dollars in the millions. If they admit that they were wrong at any point, the federal government will come after them for that money back, and then they have to pay fines and fees and penalties, and some of them will go to jail. A felony forgery. If you or I or anyone listening would forge a name on a check or on a document, we would be in prison. Why is David Boker, an attorney married to the head judge, why is he not in prison? David Boker wasn't only an attorney married to the head judge in that county. He was also the chief prosecutor over child support matters. So these men that were lawyers, doctors, engineers. Oh, absolutely. Nepotism and despotism. Yeah.
So let me ask you a question. I'm sure if you could have done it or you could do it, you would have done it. Can you file a class action suit against all of those people in that county for your son's death? With all
okay,
the proof
a class
of
action,
everything that they...
Yeah, a class action suit would be like me, you, Patsy, and six, seven
right,
other
okay.
women
or some,
filing
so
collectively.
Some other suit.
Yes, I filed in the federal court. 10 minutes from my home is a federal court in Youngstown. I live in Boardman. I went down and I picked up their pro se packet. I gave them proof. I actually hired a board-certified forensic document examiner. Her name is Vicki Willard out of Independence, Ohio. Anybody can call her and say, did you handle Lynn's matter? I have her paperwork right here. She even wrote an affidavit to the court. It is not Morgan's attorney signature. So I filed all of that into the federal court. You can look it up. It's Morgan versus Boker.
I believe you.
And
right.
You know what they do? Oh, this is a state court matter. We're going to Rooker Feldman this. Rooker and Feldman are two state court cases that the federal courts try to say that all these people that have been wronged in family courts, you are a state court loser, so you cannot now bring your case to federal court because res judicata, which is a doctrine, says you can't relitigate these issues. Well, hello, first of all, that's a lie because federal court and state court are two different sovereigns. That's why, you know, people are like, well, the state court didn't find me guilty. Well, federal court can. That they're like, double jeopardy prevents you from charging me in federal court. No, it's two different sovereigns. So if you file something in state court and you do not get your rights or your rights are violated, you very well have a reason to file and a cause to file in the federal court. It's two different sovereigns. But they'll pull this res judicata doctrine, the Rooker-Feldman doctrine. Those are just doctrines. They're not law. And I have the law here in the Ohio right. jurisprudence says where there is fraud or collusion, there is no res judicata. It doesn't apply.
Wow.
You can't, these judges think that they're going to violate everybody's rights, and then they see Lynn come along, and they're like, oh, crap, she knows her shit. What are we going to do now? Were just deny. My case, I took it to a state court claim. The U.S. attorney, Bob Bulford, in the Department of Justice in Cleveland, Ohio, told me to file a state court claim. I did as he told me to do. I had several lawyers help me draft it, and I put it into the court. It was perfected with the counts in order and everything. Judge Ronald J. Rice set my case for a jury trial. August 23, 2021, my oldest son was so happy that finally mom was going to get justice. My case was then set for a jury trial. It says it shall happen. Didn't say maybe or might. It says it shall happen. 2 weeks later, I asked, and by the way, I got that paper in July. 2 weeks later, I asked to certify my exhibits because you have to do that, and people don't know that. You can have a stack of exhibits of proof, and you walk in for the jury, but if you didn't certify those through the court, you can't use them, and then you have no exhibits. So I asked to certify each of the documents. I get a letter 3 days later that everybody was granted immunity and summary judgment.
Ah,
there is no immunity where there is fraud.
Right.
That's
right.
Shure versus Rhodes.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
You can't have immunity for felony forgery, and you can't have summary judgment. Summary judgment is only to be used in rare instances where somebody brings forth a claim and says, Patsy stole my pants off the clothesline, and I want them back, and I think they're torn now or whatever. That's a ridiculous claim. It's a vexatious action. If I needed my pants back from her, I could take her to small claims court. However, felony forgery on an official court document and people vacating my rights to my children without even my right to appear and question these folks who showed up that day and cross-examine them, I would have been able to impeach their testimony because they're all liars. Okay? The one said that she had spoken to me, and at the 17-minute mark, she remembered she asked me, Miss Morgan, how can I help you? But then continued 30 more minutes to talk to me about nothing. She claims she called me to ask to tell me what she was tasked with. But then 17 minutes later, she's asking me how she can help me. Well, wait a minute. I thought you called me to tell me what you needed to do. You see, when you read the transcripts, everything that they say is flip-flop. It's all lies. It's
right.
All smoke and mirrors.
Right.
Because you got to have a reason to take those kids. they don't want Lynn to win because then Sasha has to pay the child support and he has to pay what he owes her on the proper half of the house that is her house. It's my house he's living in. I was to get a proper half. I never got that. I'm not even worried about the financial aspect or the child support. Okay, I have my own house. I own it outright. The children were safe here. There's plenty of food. They all have the bedrooms. Patsy's been in my house. It's a beautiful home. Okay, where's your reasoning to take my kids? And folks, anybody listening, I have no criminal history. I've never done a drug a day in my life. I've never drank alcohol. I don't go to clubs and such.
You never killed anybody.
I've never abused or harmed anyone ever in my life. That's not my character. I'm a very loving and giving person, and that's what makes us targets, because they think that we're too stupid to know the law, and I'm the one telling them that they don't know the law, and they don't know how to apply it, and they don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
You can't sit up there and legislate from the bench and just make up shit and take people's kids. It doesn't work that way.
I am with you. Unfortunately, I watch cases that are just so asinine. Like Sheila was on before saying she's never heard anything like this before. None of it is surprising. Unfortunately, none of it is surprising. I've never heard such a horrific case and I'm so sorry about your child. I can't even imagine your pain to lose a child like that, and it was preventable and should never have happened. I don't even have words to say. I don't even know what to say.
There can be no words to describe standing at a hole and watching your son's body being lowered into it. When he begged and begged to get away from the abuse for years, and now they're throwing dirt on my son that was born from me.
So
is that not disrespectful to my body? And I had a C-section having that baby, nursed him, fed him, played with him. He didn't even walk until he was over, I'd say, 16 months old, because mama carried him everywhere. If you saw a picture of this little boy, you would say, oh my God, he is the most beautiful boy in the world ever.
Mm-hmm.
He's gorgeous and loving, and he liked candy. That was his favorite thing. And a sippy cup. That's all he wanted. And I called him Cuppy. That was his nickname, because he always wanted a cup of juice or a cup of milk or something. Very polite.
That's
boy.
Funny.
Very smart. He was an engineer.
Wow.
Yep.
I'm
what
so
a,
sorry.
What a
I,
horrible waste.
I hope that this rally and what you're doing, and we'll get to that after I bring on a guest, a caller, sorry, and Patsy shares her story. I want to make sure we have time for what you're working on, because, like I said, we need to start doing this across the United States. And each story, as they may be a little bit different, they're all very similar, and that is that we're dealing with a $80 billion prostitution in the court, prostitution and kidnapping in the court system, organization, I call them, and unfortunately, it goes all the way up to the government and all the way back down. And how do you fight the government? All you can do is
civil
keep bringing
war.
This to the forefront. I'm sorry?
We're going to have a civil war. That's the only way to tear down these demons and get rid of them. Those are evil entities, folks. Not like me and you and Patsy and good folks that are just trying to live and survive and pay their taxes, which were tied under illegally. You know, we're just trying to live and get through day by day. And you have these evil, evil, wicked spirits sitting up on the bench wearing a black robe of death.
Yep. I'm going to give out our number again, 516-531-9643.
Lynn, I'm so sorry again from the bottom of my heart for what you've been through. I mean, no mother should have to lose her child to their abuser, but to this extent where their child is no longer with us, is has to end. And that's why I have this show, for people like you to share your stories and you know, for the public to see what's going on, even on a small scale, because the more we speak, the more people hear, and the more people know, and the more people get educated. I'm going to keep you on. I'm going to bring on we have Patricia here. Hi, Patricia.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, Ms. Lynn.
Welcome.
Before I get choked up or anything, I cannot agree with you guys more than this. I mean, I've watched my kids to DHS. You know, and I fought, and I was there. I wasn't perfect. You know, I had a very traumatic childhood, and I got involved in drugs, and I didn't know how to pick out the right men or anything like that. But, I mean, I love my kids. I love them dearly. I was there always at the court dates, you know, like, I was never at the right time that they wanted me to be there. You know, like, I always learned things too late, you know, and
right.
I didn't have a lot of support, so, you know, like, I really agree. Like, I had four different lawyers in a course of 5 years, and one of my oldest kids had to go through 13 different homes. And my youngest, they weren't even allowed to, like, really be bonded with one another in different homes. And the youngest one, she had special needs. I mean, both of them. I mean, it was ridiculous. You know, I really needed more support and help. I just didn't know how to quite get it, you know. And, yes, like I said, I was never perfect. I was a drug addict, too. But I stayed clean for a good majority of the time. But when you find out one kid you're not going to get, your youngest, and then your oldest you might get back, it's just it's a lot more to my story. It's just it's a debauchery, I want to call it, you know.
Well, you know, there's help out there. You know, to get support, there's tremendous amount of support systems.
Well, they've been adopted out already, you know, but I know that there was a lot of forgery, and I don't know, it just tears you down after a while.
Yeah, but you know what? Don't let them win. By you getting better and help and strong, you can be an advocate out there to share your story. And show
that's what I
wanted to get better, and you know what we're trying to prevent. One of the reasons why I started this show is because I have young adults who went through a war zone and have been through trauma, and I've gotten them all the help and continuous help, and we all get continuous help, and because I want to try to prevent them from, God forbid, ending up like our abuser. And so that's why the show is called Never Give Up, because you can get better. And, you know, like my youngest, who's 18 and I got custody of, you know, he's like, I'm going to prove everybody wrong. That was his motto from the time his father left the state right out of prison. And he said, I'm going to show everybody that I'm going to make it in life. And that was his attitude. And he's 18 now, and he's in music school, and he's working his butt off, and he's goal-oriented. And, you know, there's still pain and trauma, and we have to work through each day and each challenge.
They really have brainwashed my kid. Like, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but, like, she's even traumatized to see. They won't let me talk to her, speak to her.
But all you can do at this point, all you can do at this point is help you. And once you
and I do. I have my own home now, and I've been working full time. I haven't been using, you know, but it really makes mothers go further and make them worse.
I understand. I can understand. I can understand. We all have bad times, trust me. But you prove them wrong by continuing to get stronger and better. Share your story, and you know, God willing, one day your kids will be bigger and older, And you never know. They'll come and find you. Just have faith.
I hope so.
I'm going to put you on hold because we have, I want to bring Patsy on, who's our other guest tonight. Patsy, you're on.
Hi. My story is domestic violence for years and years. A lot of domestic violence shelters I had to go to. His own mom had found me and took me to a shelter with my children because she said that he was going to kill me. If I don't find you somewhere to go, he's going to kill you. Mm-hmm. So she did. I went there. And then he found me because that's what they do. And then he forced me to marry him with a gun underneath the seat. And if I didn't marry him, then he was going to kill my family too. They, with domestic violence, they isolate you from everyone in your life. You can't have friends. You can't have a phone. God forbid if you take a shower. So they think that you're going to cheat on them, so you can't go anywhere. And then there would be domestic violence reports given to Children's Services early on. And then they would tell me he's not allowed to have anything to do with the kids. He can't see them. Even when he gets out of jail, he can't see them. And every time he got out, it was Stockholm Syndrome. It was like, no one's going to want you. You have kids. Mm-hmm. No one's going to want you. You're fat. You know, all that kind of stuff to put you down. My kids witnessed all of this, including, like, Children's Services, when they come out, they say, if you don't keep him away from the kids, then we're going to remove them permanently. So then years and years of abuse and him going back and forth to prison for sexual abuse in front of the kids, emotional abuse, physical, guns, and it also led to a police chase because he was on work release and ended up in my vehicle because he fined me. And then I had like a safety thing that I had put in place with my sister. And I drove to somewhere that I knew that I, like a little town that I grew up in. I drove there and I went to a shoe store, and I called my sister with a code, and she called 911, and they came, and he ran out of the back of the store. He went down two blocks. He burglarized and traumatized this old lady on the process in many other homes. And he was finally arrested by Maumee Police Department. And this was in 2004. And he had told me that he was going to kill me. So that's why I found somewhere to go. Because he will.
Right.
So
are you
we
still
did
in
that
hiding?
And they arrested him. No.
Are
no.
You? Okay.
I'm in a happy relationship. I have been for 9 years. But
you're very
how happy. This goes is I went and he got sentenced because he was in court. Obviously, they try to do plea deals. That needs to go away, especially in these kind of circumstances. I don't think plea deals should be allowed. Because if you sexually abuse somebody, I think that you should have that on your record. It wasn't. So he got 5 years for intimidation of the victim with a weapon, violations of protection orders, many things, drug trafficking, you name it, he had it. Many times he was in prison. The last time he was in prison was 2009 to 2013. Children's Services took my children away because my one of my sons was seen naked with my babe. She was like 4 years old. And so my grandmother got custody of him. And then the case went on for a few years. and then they were going to close it. But I suffer from migraines. I went to the emergency room, thought I was going to get an injection, go home and sleep it off, and my mom could watch them. And nope, I had to stay. And then I had to cancel my closing meeting for that case that was open for my son. I was perfectly fine. They were closing it, everything. And March 19th of 2012, then comes the caseworker in to tell me on the 22nd or 20th of March, we're taking your kids. You left them with an inappropriate caregiver. So then I was okay. A day earlier, you're closing my case. But since you got me in the hospital and you got this little thing called pink slipping that I'm going to harm myself, I never said that. I said, my children are my life. Don't take them from me. At a bedside, I was drugged with medicine that you can't even make a decision on when you are put to sleep for a surgery. These medicines were strong. And so they put me on suicide watch. I wasn't allowed to have a phone. I wasn't allowed to do anything. And then they committed me because I was a harm to myself, they said. Took my kids, put them in four different foster homes, and I didn't know about it. I didn't know where they were. I wasn't allowed to know nothing. They kept me there for 3 weeks. 3 weeks. I'd never been in a psych ward in my life. I raised my children. And so that happened, and then they had court dates when I wasn't even there and made decisions on my children. The case progresses and presses, and then they tell me, you know, supervised visits, you go, and then you go to, like, level one and then level two home visits or however it goes. And I got to, in March of 2013, they was like, okay, we're going to let the boys come home and live with you. You know, you can have custody back of the boys. I was like, okay, good. You know, whatever. I was getting them at home and had the kids. And then we had another court date coming up, and I was going to get the kids, the boys. And lo and behold, that's when my ex gets out of prison. All of a sudden, my son didn't want to go back to foster care, so he ran. So they used that against me. And then all of a sudden they say, oh, we're gonna look into giving custody to dad. I'm like, wait a minute.
What?
You just said you were giving them to me. Oh, no, they're never coming home to you.
Oh, my
God.
Oh,
why? They said, I wasn't able to parent them. I wasn't able to do anything, even though I completed my case plan and then some. So then they let me have all four of them unsupervised, even after that incident in March. And I had them for swimming. Everything was fine. I was fine with them. But then they go in there and tell me I'm not able to keep them unsupervised or custody of them. I just had them a few days ago. What are you talking about? So they're wrong. Needless to say, he got out in March, and they denied me the kids. And then we had a trial that was going to be set. And the magistrate was dating my ex's attorney where the trial was taking place. And I went to California and on a different show, and I exposed that. My ex found the recording online, gave it to the magistrate, and she recused herself from my case. And now they're married, getting worse and worse, because he gets out in March of 13. By June of 13, he has my children. He has them in his home, including my baby that's not even his. I terminated my rights to give her to him. And so the guardian that was on the case, she is now disbarred because of other things that she did in some other cases, but I'm working on mine too. But there's just so much that goes on in these courts behind doors that people don't even know. And they, oh, you must have done something. No, really, I didn't. They go in there and they lie. So they said...
As a court watcher, I watch it. I don't have to go behind scenes. I watch it. It's literally a shit show. And it's horrific.
Yeah.
It's absolutely horrific.
Yeah, and then they do these in cameras, knowing that the magistrate is dating his attorney. They do the in cameras with my kids, and then I see my kids at a visit, and they tell me, Mommy, I'm never coming home with you. That's what the judge said. Mommy, I'm never coming home. They told me I'm not allowed. You didn't do what you're supposed to do. Mommy, why didn't you do what you're supposed to do? Who does that? Really? And then they say, oh, you're having inappropriate conversations with the kids. Because they come in abused from his house. He wasn't in their lives. You just threw him in there. They didn't even know him. And they don't care. They just say, I said, well, what's the inappropriate conversations about? Never could tell me. They said, oh, inappropriate conversations. Okay. So fast forward to later, I had to have like supervised visitation for years. I had to pay for it. I would get 2 hours a week, and he was supposed to split it with me. He didn't do that. And so then I went a long time without seeing them. And then I would start seeing him again, and then he'd pull him again. Because he had all this pull in court because Children's Services was backing a felon, a repeated violent felon that they told me never to have him around. That's the bottom line of this, is he's abusive. He always has been abusive. I'm not his only victim, his children, obviously. But
so
they
one minute.
There.
Let's take a step back. Department of Children and Family Services took them away from you because you kept the abuser around. But then they gave the abuser your kids.
Yeah. They told me never to have him around my kids.
I'm really sorry. It's almost like it's comedy. It's not. It's horrific. But it's almost comedy, right?
I mean, at this point, I mean, yeah, but no, my children are still
right.
there.
I know, but it's
disgusting.
A fucking joke that they do this horrific stuff, that it's so unbelievable that, I'm sorry, go on.
That's all right. He went to the extreme of when he was in court for violation of a protection order in municipal court in here in Lucas County, as a point of, he had to go back into the holding cell, and there was like glass there that you can see them, you know, standing there. And he was cheating on me, and two of us were pregnant at the same time when we were there. We're both victims. So he was there, and he took his finger, put it across his throat like he was going to kill us, and mouthed that he was going to get us when he gets out. The entire court has seen it. It was on video. If you're going to do it in a courtroom with all of these people here, including people with guns, you're going to do it anywhere. He don't have any fear of anybody. So they said, well, you have a disrespect for the court. And for the judicial system or something, and you're going to go to jail. So he did. It was intimidation with the victim with a weapon. So he got that 5 years, and he had gotten 5 years for something else too. But he just keeps getting out, and he does it over and over again. Like, it doesn't stop.
And he keeps getting the kids back?
Well, he has had the kids since 2013, and finally got full custody in 2014. But he got them by false. Well, that were suggesting that he get custody and has the kids are the ones that have always told me never to have him around them. And if I did, I'd completely lose them and I would never get them back. But I'm crazy because I can't make sense of something that makes no sense. If that makes any sense to you. I mean, it. When people hear it, they say that what
you have done sense. None of it makes sense.
Yeah. And then, well, you had to do something. I really don't, because they do what they want.
Right.
I wrote a victim impact statement with the other victim, and there's a part that we had wrote in here that, okay, yeah. We said, this is what we did at his sentence hearing. We said, his abuse has also had a strong impact on his children, three of them being in counseling. To have a four-year-old tell you and look at you and say, my daddy hit my mommy, my daddy had a gun, and my daddy said he was going to shoot my mommy. The way all of this has affected our children is harder part of all of it to deal with. Children need stability in their lives, and that's something that these guys have not had due to his violence. And it's directed towards people that have authority, so he doesn't have respect for that.
No.
And then the worst part that he's
done
now
do.
Is, right, well, I had my kids, you know, on regular schedule, and then week on, week off, he would follow me. My kids knew that he was following me. At my apartment, he would have them steal stuff from me, like my case stuff, like my tablet, or break my SD cards in half, or break my dash cams, all that stuff, and be mean to me and physically abusive to me, and have the kids do stuff that's very dangerous.
Yeah, and that manipulation is so horrific. Because I have my oldest child who's 24 and a half who's still dealing with that trauma and guilt.
And
my kids
it's
have
like
no
Stockholm
longer
syndrome.
Have what to do with their father. Yeah, and it stays with you. It stays with you.
Even
though I forgive him and I don't blame him or anything, it stays with them forever and affects their lives.
It does, and with him having them now, it came to the point where it was the kids' safety because of him instructing them to do what they did. We were in the middle of trial, and obviously COVID happened, so all of that stuff was bad. I had temporary custody of my son, that's now 18, because of medical neglect, because my son was really sick, and he didn't get him care. He just kept telling him, oh, suck it up, suck it up. Well, he was sepsis or something like that, had all these things going on. Ended up in the hospital in a half months. I went to see him. I fought to see him. He lied and said that I hurt my son when I was there, so he made those stop. And had the detectives and everybody, all of it was false. My son even said it was false. But you go to that extreme, and I didn't see my son. I didn't even know he was there until he'd already been there for a night. I saw it on Facebook. He could have died, and I didn't even know.
So, we have about 35 minutes left, and I'm sure you both have so much more to your stories. But I do want to get to the studies, the empirical.
I had it up here too.
I want to get to that and what you guys are working on for September 26th. We have about 34 minutes left, so I'm just letting you know.
Okay. Do you want to take that?
Because I work with Joan Meyer
on
the empirical studies.
Finish what you were saying. Yeah. Did you want to just finish what you were saying? I'm sorry, Patsy.
Oh, no, it's okay. She can go ahead.
Do you want to
I
just wanted her to close. Where are your kids now?
Oh, my kids are with him. And my rights only terminated to my baby that's now 12 years old. And I don't see any of them.
And I wanted Patsy to inform you guys listening, everyone, you ladies and gentlemen, sorry, not you guys. But Patsy, the reason her voice is a bit raspy and she's a little bit embarrassed to say this, she was choked and strangulated so hard that he almost completely cracked her trachea and she wasn't able to breathe. So she has a little bit of a raspy voice. And something else that I really wanted Patsy to touch on, after this man that she was married to, he went to prison for drug trafficking, abuse on her and on the children. Then he gets out, and with the help of the Father's Rights Initiative folks, he takes her kids. Patsy had formed another relationship with another man, and a couple of years later had a daughter. The courts then took that new daughter of Patsy and her new partner and gave the child to the former spouse, who is not even the biological father of Patsy's new daughter.
And he can't adopt her because he's a felon.
You know, Jenny Lynn, right? She's on one of the advocates. You know who she is on our Facebook? She has a child. She had a child when she was, her and her ex were broken up. The kid is colored and looks obviously not her ex-husband, and he has custody of that child also. So there's so many similarities to these stories, and it's sickening. It's just, and I didn't mean to offend anybody by the word I just used. I just was, you know, trying to get the point across of what,
right,
how crazy that story is. And Patsy, both of you have endured such horrific, horrific stuff. You know, sometimes I say to myself, you know, your story, you know, is not that bad when you look at other people's. And I have to be thankful that my children are with me. You know, I deal every single day with their health issues. Like I said, one child is in the hospital right now with health issues. My oldest is dealing with mental health again. And when your children are suffering, you suffer. And so,
yeah,
you know, I try to remind myself the good that I have, because there's so much worse out there. But I empathize and I feel your pain to whatever, you know, obviously I can't to lose a child. Lynn, I don't even know. I mean, may God give you continued strength. And Patsy, to you too. And, you know, to all of those out there,
thank you,
that have lost children to this horrific, horrific, monstrous, corrupted, plagued organization, you know, we're going to keep fighting and we're going to keep sharing and bringing awareness. Okay.
Can I say one more thing real quick?
Yes.
I wanted to ask you guys, since you guys are court watchers, I wanted to see if you've ever heard this before. It says, my name actually, shall have temporary custody of minor children through February 14, 2019, which is the day father of minor children is anticipated to have completed his sentence of incarceration custody. Wait a minute, sorry. My eyes are blurry. Children is anticipated to be, has completed his sentence incarceration, and then children shall revert to Mr. Arnold, and he shall be custodian. So I got him for 10 days. I was good enough to have him 10 days, perfectly fine,
yeah,
take under appointments,
like you said,
doing all that.
It's all, you can't make sense of something that's rigged and pre-planned and premeditated. The only thing that you can do is what you're doing, and that's outing it and bringing it out to the public and doing all the things that you're going to talk about soon. Because when you walk into a system that's already all premeditated and pre-planned, you can keep fighting. And I would never say to give up. Absolutely not. But you can't make sense of it. Right?
Right. Everybody says you must have done something wrong.
Yeah. Well, don't listen to those crazy people. I don't listen to any of those kind of people. Negative, toxic, bad people. They're all part of the bad crowd.
We don't pay attention to it anymore. It's just the idea that people just don't understand. I mean, he got kicked off of school property because he did something there.
Well, we're going to make sure that people start learning and understanding. So, these two women are involved in the studies that are being, we all heard of Joanne Myers, and Danielle Pollack is part of, I know that they work together at George Washington University, and DV Leap organization. The links are all there. They're the ones that have brought out a lot of proof and different, you know, of all these different things and effects on children and fizz and all this stuff. But tell us a little bit about what you guys have planned for September 26th.
Go ahead, Lynn.
Okay. On September 26th, 2022, we are gathering in droves at 801 West Superior in Cleveland, Ohio. We are completely outing all types of fraud in the family courts, the probate courts, the unlawfully convicted, any type of fraud and corruption that is going on in the state of Ohio, and other states are welcome to come and see what we're doing, how we're doing it, and we need to set these up on a repeated basis around the United States. Mm-hmm, do not mm-hmm, think that these mm-hmm. demons don't know what they're doing. These are not mistakes. These are calculated moves. They're wickedly calculated moves in order to extract the most money out of the people in every one of the courts. Okay? It's not just family court and probate and you know, state court. We're talking federal courts, state courts, everywhere. They're doing the same thing. It's all about the money. If you file pro se in a federal court, you could have all your ducks in a row and be innocent and prove your case 100%. If they want to rule against you, they're going to, and it mostly has to do with money, okay? Mm-hmm. So, as I said previously, I did work with Joan Meyer. She was the director of DV Leap for a very long time. She is a professor at George Washington University. She has a legal clinic there, a law clinic. And I sat in the House with her, in the House of Representatives in D.C., and our resolution, it's called the House Congressional Resolution 72. It hit the floor at about 8:10 p.m., and it was passed unanimously that the safety of children is the number one priority in all custody and visitation adjudication. She wanted to take it further into the Senate. We met with Dianne Feinstein's office, Chuck Grassley's office. They wanted to hold it at the desk, which we can ask them to do. When you ask them to hold it at the desk, it means for three of the senior senators like Dianne Feinstein, Chuck Grassley, and whoever else they would choose, would read the bill, read the resolution, and could turn it into a bill, actually. But they would read the resolution and then by computer have everybody agree that it would become law. It didn't get any further than Congress, unfortunately, because it appears that Congress and senators do not want this windfall of cash to stop.
Right.
The Congress and the Senate are in on it, folks. When you call them and you complain to them, they're laughing because they're the ones benefiting from it. If you see there was a 60 Minutes, and you can look it up on YouTube, 60 Minutes, there is an interviewer talking to a congressman, and he had a camera in his glasses. And he asked the congressman about, you know, passing bills. And what is happening is these lawyers and attorneys who have to register with the Foreign Agents Registration Act, they're actually foreign agents, and they take an oath to that. They go and lobby Congress, and they pay these congressmen. They fill their pockets to pass bills that are advantageous to these lawyers. So the lawyers are paying the Congress and the Senate. The Senate go and they pass bills. Then the lawyers clean up on it. Okay? Even locally here in Mahoning County, I spoke to a group of doctors. They went to Congressman Tim Ryan. They wanted to pass a bill to get acupuncture covered by medical insurance. Tim Ryan was like, sure, pay me $100,000 and I'll walk it through. Now, law is free. It's common. It protects everyone. The law doesn't cost. It has no cost attached. But yet you have these Congress that are filling their pockets. And then they'll go, it's already a pre-planned deal, they go in front of the Senate Judiciary or the committee, and they say, hey, we want to pass this bill, and the committee already knows. Patsy and I went to Columbus, Ohio, because they wanted to do 50-50 custody in the state of Ohio. Well,
we almost
the Constitution
had that
already, it didn't pass. Patsy and I gave testimony.
Either.
The way that it's written, it is advantageous to fathers for this Fathers' Rights Initiative stuff.
Yeah.
And many judges and even lawyers came and they said, no, this is not fair to women. We're not going to do this. So it did not pass. What they were trying to do is they will see a mother that has fully proven abuse, protection orders, police reports, everything, and they will still falsely label her as a parental alienator so that they could be able to get a case on the books to take these children and give them to the abusive father. Then all these fathers' rights guys come out of the woodwork, senators and Congress and lawyers, and they get tons and tons of federal money, and then there's a case on the books. I have a custody evaluator, Dr. Harvey Kane. He said parental alienation is not a reason that you can take children from a good mother. Now, they might say if dad lost some visits, he gets makeup time. But if dad lost visits because he was in jail for child abuse and for abusing the mother, and then a court order takes his visits, that's not mom's fault. That's the court, and the court system took his visitation. His bond, his arrest bond, takes his visitation. Don't try and blame it on the mothers, okay? That's why I told them, no, absolutely not. You're not going to try and stick that on me. It's your court order that took his visit. And the magistrate said, Raymond DeLoss, he was like, oh, I did that, did I? I'm like, duh, yeah, of course. You don't have the file in front of you. You don't know what you're ordering. You don't know what your orders are. Of course they don't, because they don't care. They made money off of it. That's all this is about. Until people wake up and start rallying like we're going to do. And by the way, we welcome everyone and anyone from all over the United States and from anywhere to attend our rally. We have people coming from California, from Oklahoma, from St. Louis, from Chicago, from Michigan. So everyone is welcome to attend. Yes, New Jersey. If anybody needs, like, it can't be a guy. It can't be a man. But if anybody needs, any females need a place to sleep for the night before they travel again and have a meal and a shower, I welcome them to my home. I am armed, by the way, so I'm not going to play around with any
good
funny
for
business,
you.
Okay?
Good for you.
Yes, I have my CCW.
I have my license.
Yes?
I have my license.
Yes.
I'm still training. But can I just jump in as far as what you were just talking
yep.
about with legislation
mm-hmm.
and everything? First of all,
mm-hmm.
the word alienation, we don't use in Florida, and they don't use it in California. Because Dr. Gardner brought that, there's a whole study, and I think Joanne Meyer might even have brought it up. You use that word, your kids are taken from you. You use abuse and alienation, your kids are taken from you.
Mm-hmm.
If you look up Dr. Gardner, you can see all his sickness and his mental illness and his studies, and those are what the father rights movements are going by. But let's talk about what you talked about.
The best interest of the child. Yes, Richard Gardner came up with the best interest of the child.
Yeah, but he also came up with a lot of bad stuff.
I was going to say that because well, he's the one that created this whole parental alienation thing as well. And what he would do is, because he's a child psychologist, he would have all these little clients, little boys and girls coming in, and he would rape them and fondle them. And when he became under investigation, he murdered himself. He stabbed himself 26 times. That has to be a sicko with a demon in him, because no person that is flesh and blood can stab themselves 26 times.
And they have all these movements, father's rights movements, that are following, that are his, you know, goonies or whatever you want to call it. And they're, like you said, they're being funded, or they're funding, or they're getting funded by our government. So what I want to say just quickly about, I watched legislation last year because we were trying to get Grayson's law passed. A little boy murdered by his father, not far from where I live. And you can go Google it, Grayson Kessler. And basically, so I was very involved, and it got passed by the first round unanimously, and it never made it to the next round. And I was watching the whole abortion. Rights, and you know, I'm a Republican, okay, but I'm a very disappointed Republican at the moment in my state, and I was watching these senators and congressmen or whatever, fight for the abortion rights, against the ban abortion, and you know, I'm for our rights. You know, we should. The Constitution says we have rights, and they were trying to take away our rights. And not that I believe abortion is okay, you know, but there should be exceptions. But I was watching this one senator or congresswoman. I don't know the difference, and. She was so ice cold and fighting for this law, the abortion ban. And then we found out that she was probably being funded by the anti-abortion groups, and they were going to fund her campaign because she was running for re-election. And she, not only running for re-election, but a new creating her own jurisdiction. And so, again, she had an agenda, and she fought for that agenda because she was promised these groups, you're gonna fund my campaign, and I'll fight for you. And that's really what it's all about. Now, we had a 50-50
custody, even though Florida goes by it, but it's not a law in Florida. And they were going to try and shove it in an alimony bill. We rallied together, not physically, but we fought and fought and fought. And now basically in that alimony bill, so if you let's say gave up everything for alimony for the rest of your life, it was going to be reversed in way alimony. So if you're in your 80s and you were gave up your house and everything for alimony, you would stop getting alimony. In that bill, they threw in the 50-50 custody. And we were calling and calling our governor and the legislators like crazy. And he ended up vetoing it. But, you know, it was pretty scary. And that was basically the, you know, we were trying to get the court recordings made into a law in family court. They all have, all the counties in Florida have, even the little tiny courthouses have the ability to do it. They just don't want to. So that bill never made it either. And unfortunately, Grayson's law was not passed. You know, they're working on a new version of it this year, and we're going to start early. But, you know, so what you were just saying before, I was watching it myself. The corruption, and I was blown away. I was literally blown away by what was going on. I've never seen that before. So I can back you up that all these people have an agenda, and they all have it goes from the government in Washington all the way down to the state, the highest level to the police. And all the way back up. And like you said, it's all about money. Now I'm going to shut up and let you guys finish.
Well, they're all in one camp. That's what everybody has to understand. All of these people are in one camp. Once the family courts commit fraud and forgery, in fact, if you Google the name of Sean Porter, SEANPORTER, 31-year-old attorney in the state of Ohio was indicted a short while back, on 42 counts of tampering with records, felony forgery, and for causing a mother to lose custody. So it's there. I printed it out. I send it into the Supreme Court. Do not try to deflect from the serious nature of my case or try to have these attorneys. I have 12 defendants. They've got attorneys. They hired the most powerful attorneys in the state of Ohio. If I was saying bullshit to the courts, why would these people have to go and hire the most powerful attorneys? And you know what the best they can come up with? They don't have a scintilla of evidence or fact. They just say, well, now appellant continues the recurring trend to make even more preposterous claims and factual exaggerations. See, what they do, and I put it here, this is what I'm working on as we speak. I said, now here comes the petitioner appellant, Carol Lynn Morgan, here and after Carol. I respectfully file this motion to strike appellee Kim Leidick's memorandum opposing my motion to reconsider. Firstly, I was never properly served. I didn't receive it by email nor by regular mail, so that's the reason to strike right there. Secondly, appellee Kim Leidick, by and through her counsel, attempt to present false, fraudulent, and absolutely unsubstantiated disinformation to this court that is not supported by even a scintilla of evidence or fact. Kim Leidick and her counsel believe that by personally attacking me with their snarkiness and trying to discredit me, that the heat will come off of them. This is a wickedly calculated move in order to deflect the focus of the trier of fact. So they're stating BS, bosh and rot is what it is, but there's no facts and evidence. It's just talking bad about Lynn. Lynn could be bad. She could be whatever she wants to be. The fact remains, dude, there's a felony forgery on an official court document that has never been remedied. And until that happens, this case is never resolved. Fraud upon the court has no statute of limitations. I will file until my last breath, and probably even after that. Okay? So I'm not going to stop. They think that they were going to tire me out. They were going to wear me down. No. Even if I don't win in their court, in their camp, I'm going to make sure everybody knows their name and their children's names for generations to come. They're going to know what these people did to me and to many other mothers in the state of Ohio. See, we have to name names, okay? They call us by our names in the court, right? So if you just say, well, the judge did this and the judge did that.
Well, sometimes
no,
they
you
call
have
you the right name.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
sometimes they don't even use the right name.
Well,
yeah.
You know,
yes.
As long as it's public record, you can say whatever you want, unless you have a gag order.
Nope, no gag
well,
order,
no,
and that wouldn't work on me anyway.
And it's,
yeah,
and
the First Amendment.
It's cases that people can go, and like you were giving the case numbers before, it's cases that people can go and look up. You can say whatever
Absolutely.
You want unless an attorney tells you to keep your mouth shut. Otherwise,
even if the attorney told me to keep my mouth shut, I tell him to keep his mouth shut.
She ain't lying. She's not lying.
This is my filing. I do everything pro se. I don't use an attorney. I have taken judges and magistrates off the bench. I've gotten attorneys put in jail. My own attorney, Mark Berkland, is sitting in prison right now. So, look,
really?
I don't listen to them.
Well,
yes,
then
absolutely.
Maybe you can help us with this Lizzie case. Lizzie
I
Harding
will help with
in
any
jail.
Case.
Okay. I'll connect
you
with
you
know
what you
her
do?
Friend.
Is you look up my case, the 2022-0666, which they, you know, had a nice time issuing that case number to
me. Send me a message with it via messenger.
Because in there is
every
law on immunity, summary judgment. These people are not entitled to that. They are fraudsters. Wherever there is fraud, there is no summary judgment or immunity.
They have to get used to that. The problem is she's locked up in jail on ex parte without an evidentiary hearing. And like you were saying, Patsy was saying about her ex or somebody sleeping with the judge or something. One of
oh, the
matching
attorney.
Yeah. So, I'm sorry. Hold on a minute. Sorry, my kids are here. I apologize. So her ex-husband, law partner was her ex-husband, because it's a false divorce. His law partner is a boyfriend or the other half of the chief judge of New York. She's actually being investigated and had to step down, but she told all the New York judges that they should not follow through with the law on ex partes with an evidentiary hearing. So she's in jail since July 4th.
An ex parte hearing is unconstitutional, and I want to make this clear to everybody. The Constitution does not give you any rights. It protects the rights you already have by God himself. So when they say this is an ex parte, that is unconstitutional. If you look up Goldberg versus Kelly, Armstrong versus Monzo, those cases prove that your fundamental right to be heard is disturbed and deprived of you when they have an ex parte hearing.
When you have a judge and attorney that were hired by your guardian, okay, that because they've decided that they've they made a fraudulent psych eval and they decided you're crazy. So there's a guardian holding on to your money and your husband is behind all of this. They even forged a divorce. So she's not really divorced. And she's in jail for 3 months based on a violation of an ex parte that was also given corruptly, all to hide the fact that he's a pedophile, because she found something after 17 years of marriage on his computer and confronted him. And he said, oh, I'm going to get help. And this is all recorded and everything. And I actually invited you to both of the groups of the woman, of her friend that's been helping her. I actually spoke to her in jail. And we did a show on her a few weeks ago. And, of course, nobody wants to touch her case because it's career suicide. The news is not reporting the truth. She has every powerful person holding her in jail. Now, she may be safer there, but she's a vegan. She's not getting food. So who knows how tiny she's become. I mean, she's in Westchester County Jail. And everything's stacked up against her. Her husband hasn't had to say
then
one
you
got to
get all moms over there and protest. It's the power
that's
of the
I
people.
Said.
All power
that,
is inherent in
I
the people.
Them. That's what I told them when I did the show. I said, all you guys need to get together. You need 25, 30 protective parents on the jail steps and get the real news there.
How about thousands? Not 25 or 30.
You know,
let's put thousands
well, let's
there.
Hope, let's hope. If you want to look up her story, you know, Lizzie Harding.
I don't know. What did she do? What are they charging her with?
Violation of an ex parte.
Well, an ex parte, she wasn't there, so she wouldn't know what happened in that hearing.
No,
how can you violate something that
never,
you weren't present for?
She never got an evidentiary hearing. The lawyers work for her husband. So they're just making up all these different things to keep her in jail. Look up my show on her. Or I invited you to two groups. One of them has all her information and everything on it. If you scroll down. And, you know, maybe bring it up at your rally. Because this is just like the corruption. I can't see
where
this woman
she located?
Getting at unless she's in Westchester, New York. Westchester County.
Westchester.
Prison.
Okay, that's not too far for me to travel. Me and Patsy can pick up some people, and we can get out there on those steps. But we need people there. We need boots on the ground. I'm not going to just go whole hog and
If you get a lot of women or men, I will come. I can't do it until the end of October because I start holidays next week. I'm Jewish, so till the last week in October, I'm kind of tied up. But
when's her next court date?
I'm going to connect you with her friend. I'm going to introduce you guys so you guys can talk to her because she speaks to her daily.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. But that's why, all the things you guys are saying, either I went through or I know someone that went through, or it's all so similar. And what I said is power in numbers. The more people we get out there on the steps, in front of people, you know, being loud and rowdy and everything, we're going to get the attention of real media, of the public, and and get stories out there. And that's the only way to get this is to break down such a huge empire little by little by little with a chainsaw is by power numbers and speaking up in numbers. And your rally that you guys are doing is phenomenal. So,
yeah, we need everybody to show up. Spread the word to everyone. Because if you look at the 10th Amendment, okay, all the power is inherent in the people. It's on us. Those people can't do anything. We are in the driver's seat. And until people, like, the reason they've gotten out of hand is because people are staying silent. You're just saying, go ahead and run me over with your truck.
No, they're scared to silence. That's really what it is. A lot of them are scared into silence. Remember, they've been abused. So we have to help them. We have to show them it's okay. You know, it's okay to open up and share your story and get out there and be part of this amazing group of advocates and people that are out there helping each other, you know? So I would love for you guys to send me a clip or a video of your rally from the 26th. Unfortunately, I can't be there. It's Rosh Hashanah. I wouldn't be able to travel right now. I have a child that's not well. You know, send it to me. I'll repost the show. And I'll add it to the show so I can put it out there. And then we can start talking about doing it in another state. We can go to New York and little by little keep doing it. Any closing words? Because we're already over time.
We have to worry about is the worst is yet to come. We've got young daughters. We've got young nieces. We have young cousins. Friends, neighbors, relatives, they're going to be going
our
through
future.
The same. They're not going to stop. The more people stay silent, it gives them more power to keep doing this. That woman who's sitting in jail right now is completely being deprived of all constitutionally protected rights.
Yes. Yep.
Well, they also take rights away in TPR people. In the state of Ohio, they don't allow you to get those rights back. But yet they'll give them to a felon that's not even her dad.
It's not.
And put
normal.
Her in an abusive
it's
situation, unhealthy living.
Yeah. There it's are states normal. That do reverse the temporary, terminating of parental rights. Yes. There are, like Kentucky. For example, Kentucky says you reverse that. If you've had your rights terminated, you can have a lawful hearing and you can get your kids out of that termination and out of foster care and whatnot, okay? So if you look at Article 4, Section 4 of the United States Supreme Court, that is the Privileges and Immunities Clause, and they're in there. It states that, like, in other words, if Kentucky passed a law, well, we can follow that law in the state of Ohio, too. A law that is passed in one state is valid in this state as well. So say you have something, for example, Supreme Court of Ohio has a case, Jelm versus Jelm. They use it in Massachusetts. They use it in other states. So if a state has a law that you can reverse the termination of parental rights, you can use that law in the state of Ohio, and you should. And I believe that you touched on the fact that these lawyers will be in big trouble if they follow the law, and that's true. That's what's happening now. It's a good old boys club, and your bar card, your membership card, gets you into that club.
Right.
And if you
right.
go against
right.
the sham legal process, they're going to go after these good attorneys. So good attorneys are hard to find because they hide out.
I know.
They know if they go in. I'll give you an instance. There's an attorney who took a woman with him and went to her court hearing, and he was defending her. She's a victim of domestic violence, and he is defending her. That's his client. She pays him to give her representation, okay? So these attorneys become your speaker. They speak to the court. Lawyers are law sayers. attorneys attorn you, means they take over for you, which generally an attorney should only be appointed to a child or a mentally disabled person, because that means you can't speak for yourself. So like me, I file things sui juris. That means I'm over the age of 18 and I can speak for myself. Now, you can have a lawyer with you because the lawyer is the law sayer. So when they go in, like this gentleman did, and you, I'll give you the link to it. This lawyer goes in to talk to the other lawyer and the judge, which they do, you know, have their little ex parte stuff going on before court. Mm-hmm. And he was trying to tell the judge, this woman is in the right. We've got photos of her bloodied face, and he keeps coming after her. Something happened in that courtroom where the lawyer ran out of the courtroom, dropped his papers, his files, and his briefcase, ran down the hallway, and threw himself through a glass window on the fourth floor. So obviously he saw the face of what he was really dealing with. And this, I saw, he must have been threatened. He just literally took off running down the hallway.
We're very over time. Send me whatever you can that I can look up, or that you would like me to add a link to the show. Send it to me on Messenger or via my email. And definitely if you have the rally on video, I will repost the show and I will attach it, and bring up the fact that we want to continue to do this. October mm-hmm. is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. I know down here they're planning to do stuff, but I don't know if we'll get a big rally going, but if we can get it done in New York on the steps of the prison, I will come in. Let's work on this. Let's make this a
plan.
Let's
stay in touch and organize it properly. Yes. And I wanted to say, I don't do anything in Instagram. I do have an Instagram, but I see that there's a group formed, and Patsy had sent me some things. I don't do that. The Instagram is only for me to contact certain people. If you want to reach me, you've got my phone number and you can text me. And I'll get right back to you, or
Instagram,
I'll answer the call.
I only post the show on there. I mm-hmm. use it because I a lot of groups, a lot of like DV Leap and NCLI and all these domestic, a lot of these groups, custody piece, they're on Instagram and they use it a lot. And they're great.
Yeah. Well, we want to see DV Leap step up and do a lot more.
These
are advocates. Where are they?
Yeah. Well, let's.
I'm serious. Come on. You're advocating and you put yourself out there as an advocate and you've done studies and empirical studies, why has not a federal court case been filed? There is a fatherhood.gov. There is no motherhood.gov. That is in violation of the Fifth Amendment equal protection under the law. Where are our advocates? Why have we not filed a class action, like a real one, to bring this to light that mothers are losing children the minute they try to get a protection order? Step up, folks, and let's all work collectively to get this done and get some rights. Our daughters are growing up. They're going to get married.
Yes.
They may end up in a relationship after 5 years the same way we are.
No, look, it's not just the daughters. It's the sons. We want healthy men. They're our future, and we want
absolutely.
Healthy children.
Absolutely.
They're our future.
But it's a learned behavior. Domestic violence is a learned behavior.
Yeah, we know.
They will learn it.
I know all about it. I'm going to mute. You guys, you did an amazing job tonight. Thank you so much, Patsy, for reaching out to me, and Patricia for calling in. Stay strong. Keep moving forward. Never give up. There's always hope. Lynn, your story is I don't have words to say. for sharing, for doing the work you do. The strength that God has given you, and Patsy, you too, is absolutely incredible. My friend Lucia is on listening. Thank you, Sheila, for calling in. We had another caller who was listening in. And for all my listeners, let's keep fighting. Let's keep bringing attention. Hopefully this rally on the 26th is going to bring huge awareness. And let's keep going. The best thing would be to be able to do all these rallies at the same exact time in each state. Maybe eventually we will. But if we can start at one state at a time, we'll get it done. Thank you to my guests tonight for sharing incredible stories, unbelievable strength these women have. And thank you to Joe Koch for giving me this Blog Talk Radio time. Thank you to Charlie for pushing me out there and making me do the Never Give Up show on my own. You were my rock. Helped me get this started. Visit my website, thenevergiveupshow.com. All my podcasts are on there. All the different places the show is on. It's also on SoundCloud. I will post that later to wherever I posted the show. Please, Patsy and Lynn, any links you want me to add to the show, send it to me. I can add it at any time. And again, once you do that rally, please reach out. Send it to me so I can add it, repost the show and add it. And Lizzie, we're always going to talk about you until you can come out here and speak up for yourself. And you're so lucky to have such good people out there trying to help you. And I connected Patsy and Lynn to her friend. And hopefully you guys can work together and, fight for her. And please never, ever, ever give up. Have a great night.
With a little perseverance, you can get things done. Sight of blind adherence that has conquered some. And nobody wants to know you're not. Nobody wants to show you how bad you're lost on your own. You can never surrender. And if you're back on me, you hold. You can never surrender. And when the night is cold and dark, you can see. You can see light, 'cause no one